Dad Mod's Media Machine presents the Brews with the Dudes podcast.
You to do things.
Ta-da.
Did you do things? I think you did things.
Yep, we're good.
I think so. Okay, so we've got audio, we've got video, we've got a camera.
We got lights.
We got a lot of motorcycles over here.
We have a motorcycle over here. We have a motorcycle back there.
We have a motorcycle there. We got a motorcycle there. And a bunch outside. Hey, guys. Welcome back to another episode of the Brews with the Dudes podcast. I am Jake Lindquist.
I am Donnie Allen.
And we are brought to you today by Hershey's.
Yes.
No, we're not. No, we're not. It'd be super cool if we were, but we're not.
Yeah, I think we'd be much bigger.
The only Hershey's that I have to tell you about is a squirt that happened yesterday.
Did you shut yourself up?
I'm going to get just straight into this, buddy. While it was occurring, I was positive I was shitting myself.
Oh, but, God.
And I'll never know. I'll tell you the whole story. Okay.
How do you not know?
Well, I'll never know because let me just tell you the story. Okay. So, I just get these bouts of like sudden need to shit every once in a great while.
Oh yeah.
It might be irritable bowel syndrome. It might just be that I ate the wrong thing. I mean, I did eat a gas station cheeseburger the night before.
That's Russian roulette right there.
But that's the thing is it was a full day later. So usually when those things hit you, it's like 35 minutes later or 35 seconds later.
Within the hour.
You have a super soaker coming out your behind. So anyway, I am getting home and I'm feeling a little bit of that pressure and I'm like, I need to get moving. And it's like, I'm like four blocks away and I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be a problem. And so I'm racing in and I park. And when you have to shit that badly, you're like, every movement is a little bit scary and a little challenging.
Yeah, you're trying to clench everything and you can't walk and clench.
Move and stairs. So anyway, like my bathroom is on the upstairs. So, I was sure I was shitting myself. Like, I was so positive that I was shitting myself. And it was like, I've never actually felt as though it is happening in this situation where I get these like rush scenarios, because like I've made it like by like a nanosecond sitting on the toilet and it's like, you know, it's happening
the system.
Instantly.
It's just all coming out.
In this instance, it was like, yeah, I don't know how graphic I should get with this, but I was pretty sure I was shitting myself. I was opening the door and closing it, and I was like, oh no. And it's like, if you've ever had those moments and you've like about shit yourself, it happens in pulses because you're fighting to try. Like, you know, it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger trying to open a closed door or something, you know? And so I am. Like, you hit that point of like, oh, my pants are down. Okay, I can start relaxing.
But you're not sitting down yet.
Yeah. So I sat down really fast as that was happening. And my thought is like, what's a good example of this? It's like if you pour out a glass, but you move the glass down really fast, you figure like, if you move as fast as the liquid, it's not going to splash everywhere.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to sit down as fast as the shit is coming out of me in hopes that I don't just like sneeze all over the bathroom. And it was successful. Like,
that's impressive.
I sat down to just the most awful just explosion out of my ass. And I was like, I'm positive right now I am sitting on a shit covered seat, but I don't care because I'm getting this out of me.
Exactly.
I
it's
feel
not
better.
In your pants. It's not in your underwear. It's
exactly.
Just, it's where it at least should kind of be.
And that's the thing. So like I'm sitting there and as I'm like fucking, it looks like Harry from Dumb and Dumber when he's taking a shit in Aspen.
Yeah,
right?
He's just hanging on. He's like, oh no.
And his like legs are sticking out. It was that situation for me. And so like, that's happening, and at the same time, I'm like, you know, once I could actually focus on anything other than just the moment of relief, I'm like kind of inspecting my boxer briefs, and I'm like, wow, like
they're rather clean.
I didn't shit myself. And I'm like looking at my pants on the inside and the outside, and I'm like, there's no way. And I kind of like lean and I'm like looking and I'm like, there isn't shit all over the place. Like, I was positive it was going to be there.
So did you get
clean up and nothing? By some miracle, and I think it was the whole technique of like sit just down as quickly fast as it's coming out of you. It must like it holds it in this like little shit vessel that's just shit vessel. Just below you.
Our next race car is gonna be called the shit vessel.
The shit vessel. Perfect, dude. So, the relief is inexplainable.
Have you gotten the bidet installed?
I haven't. Oh, no. Okay.
Because I was going to say, like, that's the perfect opportunity for the bidet.
This situation requires a power washer and not a, like, a nice little gentle stream. That was no joke.
You just crank the pressure. You just crank it up to 11.
Yeah. I mean, there, like, a gasoline engine increasing the pressure would have been just necessary slowly. For this. Yeah.
Get a rising rate bidet.
Rising rate pressure regulator. I wonder how, like, what would... So, I mean, maybe like if you had handles on the sides of the toilet, because here's the thing.
It goes by grip.
Something, yeah. So like you've got to have some sort of a reference, right?
Maybe what it does is it measures the water level, then how quickly it rises.
I like that. So we need a mass airflow, a mass shit flow sensor somewhere that measures how much is coming out of you, and then it adjusts the amount of blast.
Exactly.
That's perfect.
We got this. We're going to go into the toilet business.
We are, and we're going to use automotive architecture for this because we can use like a mass. Well, you couldn't use a mass airflow sensor because it's air. Yeah. And air goes around the sensor. Shit would just like, I don't know. I mean, it would probably plug it up a little bit. What would work? There's something that's going to work. Volume. There's got to be some kind of volume sensor.
You could do a...
proximity sensor that measures like speed. Speed
well,
sensor.
In theory, the water in the toilet is room temperature, correct? And the poo coming out of you is going to be body temperature, which is warmer than water temperature.
Okay.
You could pretty much do a coolant temp sensor on it. It's like, oh shit, we rose above 70 degrees.
Yeah.
We need more pressure.
Shit temp sensor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's, you know, you could probably do it that way because like a log is not going to heat up the water at the same rate that a chocolate fountain is going to. So here we are. Problem solving, first world problems.
Entrepreneurs in the making.
We are. We've given people so many goddamn ideas.
We got to write this stuff down.
I know.
And start, you know, filing copyrights.
We really do. What was the last thing that we had come up with? It was the helmet with some sort of beverage in it, wasn't it? It was something. There was man, I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
We have to go back on the podcasts.
Speaking of beverage, though, we should probably have a couple.
Oh my god! Yes, I gotta drink something that's gonna help me.
It's
shit.
It's all on your side.
What is?
Where'd you put the beer?
Oh, I didn't bring it over.
Oh, I thought you did. I just saw the paper bag. I'm like, okay, cool. It's sitting over there.
No, that's not it. Yeah.
I'll go grab it.
Can you?
Because you got like four cables and a tripod to jump over.
Okay.
So try to be funny while I'm gone.
I'm not very good at that. 8:31 in video cut. Beer
gathering scene.
Okay, neat.
You want to see magic trick?
All right, great.
Oh,
there's cool. Beer there.
It's way better than a rabbit.
That is not tea. That is not kombucha. Hooey.
Hooey.
All right, so this is Lupulin Brewing Hooey India Pale Ale.
Yeah.
Crazy, juicy, hazy, hooey.
Hooey.
Hooey. So it's a really pretty looking can. I like the design a lot.
Yeah, they had this, and then they had another one that was a little bit darker of a beer, but very... Oh, yeah, thank you. But same design, but very more LSD-oriented.
Limited slip?
No. There's a lot of bright colors.
Oh, that is...
Is that tasty?
That is hitting the spot.
Well, that is... like the spot that's going to make you run inside?
No, not that spot. I still don't know what that is, so actually it could be hitting that spot. I don't know. It's whatever. Ooh. Leads into that situation.
Good. That's really tasty.
That is an excellent beer. That's like incredibly smooth. That's it's almost like a Portage from Bent Paddle.
Yeah.
Like that's really close.
That's just, well, this is like the one we had last week, which was also a hazy juicy IPA. God. These are just good summer beers.
They're fantastic. Yeah, because they aren't overbearing in their IPA-ness. They've got like a really floral, very, you know, the juice flavor of it is kind of floral. It's kind of, depending on like what the mix is or whatever.
Yeah, you like get taste a little bit of mango in this, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You're getting some kind of a fruit in there. Yeah, that's super good. And I mean, the haze, it has like a haze in itself has a unique flavor to it. It's almost like it's not as filtered.
Yeah.
So it tastes really full.
Oh, they also have a recommended glassware on the back of the can.
Really?
Yeah. Right there. You guys,
it's a recommended glassware shape. That's funny. I wonder if that has something to do with breathing. I don't know. It's like those wine nuts I always talk about. Like, you got to just like let it breathe.
Whatever.
I don't know.
Drink it. Taste it. Enjoy it.
Don't ladies talk about that too? They got to just like let it breathe. I wonder if they really need to do that. Because that's like an old wives' tale kind of thing.
Maybe.
Where it's like you got to let it breathe.
I don't know.
I mean,
like I'm sorry, but if it smells that bad that you have to let it breathe,
I don't know. Yeah,
like you should.
Well, it's.
I think you don't. I think you need to shower. I don't think you need to let it breathe. You need to drown that fucker in water.
Right. Well, okay. So ladies have a pretty delicate ecosystem down there.
Yes. Like
all of it. There's a biome. There's like pH levels. There's bacteria, like good bacteria, bad bacteria. Like there is a crazy world. There's a world going on down there. And it makes you wonder then. Yeah. I don't remember why we brought this up.
Neither do I.
I just like the Vaj came over the mind.
And, see, and that's the great thing about being a dude is we're simpler because we're just kind of out there, you know?
Yeah. If ever you needed a moment to go like, how simple is Jake? Well, he started talking about vaginas and he just went blank. I'm pretty okay. So the other day I was at the dog park with my silly young dog. This is a
very weird transition, by the way.
Yeah, okay, so talking about vaginas, right?
Okay.
So I'm at the dog park. No, I'm just kidding. There's no relationship between these two. Besides the fact that my dog is unneutered. He is like 4+ months or something like
that.
So
he's just humping everything.
He is like the lipstick is coming out all the time. Like he is burying his nose in lady taint. Just like wedging his nose in there and running around with a boner. Like, it's just like, dude, stick to your species. Like, my God, man. So I'm at the dog park the other day. Excuse me. And I ran into your parents. So your stepdad and your mom were there.
With their basset hounds?
With their, oh my God, they are.
Did they bring Apollo with?
Yes.
Awesome.
So Apollo, we were chuckling because we were talking about how that dog just always looks like it's waking up from a hangover.
Yeah, he looks like he just walked 40 miles through the desert and just can't believe he found water.
Yeah, pretty much. That's a good way of putting it, yeah. So we got on the topic of your first car incident. And they said,
hold on, which
you're
going
to have to tell me a little bit about this. You were 13 and drove a car into something.
Yeah. Okay. So,
so you got to tell the viewers about this little snafu.
Fine. I hate this story. It's so embarrassing.
Why do you hate it? It's amazing.
It's awful because I overreacted because I was 13.
The reaction is amazing, though.
That's, okay. So a couple of things. I grew up in Topeka, Kansas. We lived just outside the town. In fact, the highway you turned off of was city limits.
Mm-hmm. It is where happiness goes to die.
That's all of Kansas.
That is the motto of Topeka.
Other than Heartland Park and like two neighborhoods.
That's true. Okay. So Topeka has that way over Duluth because even though I think we've got a bigger population, they got a racetrack and
they have a very badass racetrack.
A lot of hippies.
Yeah. Yeah, but we don't have the crime rate. Anyways, yeah, so my very first car I owned was a 89 Grand Prix or 90 Grand Prix. SE, bucket seats in the back of the front, cardinal red interior, gray, Shitbox.
Oh, dude. So I got to interrupt you for a second. What is with manufacturers and doing colored interiors?
I don't know, but it's the same color as those Mustang seats.
Exactly. Right, why did all these manufacturers decide to make interiors these obnoxious, the blues and GMs?
Well, in the 80s and the late 90s, there were a lot of, you know, drugs and stuff. So maybe it's to hide blood.
Well, they've been doing it forever. I mean, I feel like a lot of the old cars even had weird colored interiors. Well, yeah, even like the
65 Mustangs had red interior.
Yeah.
Why?
Gross.
Yeah.
Like, I can understand white, which is, I mean, that there's a specific person who can handle having that.
I can't do that. I like tan only on green cars.
Yeah, that doesn't look too bad, but it's got to be the right tone of tan.
Yeah.
I think khaki looks really good. When it starts getting closer to that brownish hue, that's when it's like, I don't know.
It depends on the car, and it depends on the interior.
You know what? And actually, I take that back, because I've seen a couple of brown leather interiors before that look amazing. So I think it has more to do with just like the color palette.
Yep. Yeah, it all has to do with the exterior, features of the interior, all that fun jazz. Obviously, the BMW tan would look like garbage, but
yeah,
on
it's terrible.
A Bugatti tan, that same color tan could probably look really badass. Then again, it's a Bugatti, so like you could do, you know, shit.
And then we're also talking about different seat shapes and all that kind of stuff. So you know, it probably is a fit and finish effect on it as well.
There's a big picture, lots of ins, lots of outs.
Yeah, sure. And so okay, you had this this 90s, 80s,
80, but it was an 89
Grand Prix
SE
five speed.
No,
auto.
Had the pull down exterior door handles that were made out of aluminum, so of course the driver's side was busted. And it had another issue with the shifter. It didn't want to go in, it was like stuck in neutral, or didn't want to go in and out of gears correctly. Anyways, first car, 13, I fixed that. I fixed the door handle and the shifter by myself, which I was proud as hell
at
about.
13, that's I was really like, good.
My dad bought the part, and my dad, who probably won't watch this. I don't know if he didn't. I was young enough. I don't know if he didn't get around to it or just a POS or whatever. Never fixed it. So I'm like, I'm going to do this. I want to fix my car. Mm-hmm. So I fixed it. And I did what everybody does after they fix it. I took it for a spin.
Except you're 13.
Yeah. I have a bad habit of this. You'll catch a theme the more you listen to our podcast. If somebody tells me not to do something, I'm probably going to do it.
It's kind of hard. You got to really fight that impulse.
And
yeah.
My mom, my stepdad, and my dad, all of them are like, no, don't drive the car. You cannot drive the car. There's no insurance on it. You're 13.
Well, and another important thing to note is your location. You weren't in Topeka at the time.
We were just on the outside of Topeka. We wanted to see like
rural.
Rural, cul-de-sac. It's a dead end. There's like four cul-de-sacs, one way in, one way out. Bunch of older people, a couple of families, but a bunch of people retired.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's rather safe area.
The chances of you killing somebody who hasn't already lived a full life is pretty low.
Exactly. I'm more likely to hit an animal than I am a person.
Okay, perfect.
So hop in it. Like, sweet, this is awesome. I go to the end of the cul-de-sac, which is about a block and a half, if you were to flatten it out, and back. Now, it's on the way back. Now, if I was a legal driver at the time with a license and all that fun jazz, I was not in the wrong. I just want to say this. This other person was. They were driving down the middle of the road. And to avoid hitting them, because I figured, hey, I don't have a license. If I hit them, this is going to be really, really bad.
Ooh.
I clipped a mailbox.
This is really interesting, because this is not details that your folks shared. They just basically said Donnie hit a mailbox when he basically stole the car.
That fuck. Okay, yeah. First off, it wasn't just because it wasn't licensed in my name doesn't mean I stole the car.
Right. Still, well, I mean, okay, was that your car? So that you had a car at 13. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Kansas, you could drive at 14. You get your learner's permit? No. You get your farmer's permit at 14, your learner's at 15, and then 16, your normal license. So you can slowly work your way up.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Anyways, dipshits driving down the middle of the road. I decided not to hit them. And when I say clip a mailbox, I didn't even do damage to it. The mirror went like right under the lip of the mailbox and gouged my mirror.
That's it though, right?
That was it. At least
yeah, so it wasn't significant damage.
After I evaluated the situation, that's all that was. But I'm like, holy shit, like I almost got in an accident. I just took out somebody's mailbox. Like I'm freaking the fuck out.
Okay, so this vehicle that was in the middle of the road, okay, did they stop?
No.
Okay, so they didn't even really notice what happened.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
I'm just 13, inexperienced driver, freaking the fuck
Because could you imagine? Now, okay, so I'm 37 years old. 20-year-olds look like children to me. I can't imagine watching a 13-year-old step out of a vehicle after running into a mailbox.
Yeah.
That would blow my mind.
Even at the age of 25, I looked 16, so.
Yeah. I was 12 the first time that I drove a vehicle. I was driving it was a 1970 Chevy K10, the four-wheel drive version of the C10, right? My dad taught me how to do it. Like I actually could, it was a 3-speed with overdrive, okay. 350.
Nice.
So very like, very typical. I think it was like a Gen 2, Gen 1. I think it was like, yeah.
Okay.
Gen 1 engine. I can't remember which version. So just like the 350 that everybody was familiar with back then, right?
Is there a song
great motor. If it has a manual transmission attached to it, you can basically just like let out the clutch slowly and it'll just go. You give it like blip of throttle and it just goes on its way.
Just enough to make it happy.
So it is the perfect vehicle to start out on. So that was my opportunity. And then when I was 13, my parents had this shitty like Cutlass Calais station wagon. And that's what I used to hoon around in because I lived out in the Tulies. Like I was a mile from the highway that was like, I say 12 miles away from a tiny town. Like I was in a township and then I was probably like 25 miles from an actual city. And then about 60 to 70 miles from Duluth. So if that'll give you an idea that this is truly in the middle of buttfuck nowhere.
Yeah, no one's coming there unless you like burn down half the woods.
Exactly. And there was all like, we were basically living down a road that was just had a bunch of cabins on it. So I got into a lot of trouble out there with all the vehicles that we owned over the years.
Yeah,
and I was driving at 13, like we sliding
didn't have
cars
that much
around.
Space. We had, I think, like half an acre. Mm-hmm. So like you big yards, yeah, but there's still people.
Right, right.
And you'd have to go another 5-ish miles to kind of be kind of how you were saying of like, there's no one close by.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's kind of funny, and I'd be curious if like there's a theme to that of like. Are car enthusiasts, is there a higher percentage that have driven well before the legal age?
Yeah.
And I would guess,
I assume so.
Like, we probably were born with an affinity for cars and drove as soon as we possibly could.
Yeah. So to continue the story, because
there's
unfortunately more to it. I get back. I don't know how much they told you.
That's the extent of it.
Oh yeah, there's more.
Oh wait, no. Yeah. Okay. I did hear a little bit. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. So I get back freaking the fuck out because I'm 13 and think like, oh my god, I just did some property damage and like, you know, car's fucked up and all this. Just all the irrational thinking I could possibly do because 13 you don't think rational.
Well, yeah,
I mean, I took the car out, but you know, that's not a rational thought. So I'm losing my goddamn mind. what were they? I think it was like animal control came out to the neighborhood and then pickup truck with cages in the back of it. And I'm like, holy shit. Like I'm going to get some serious fucking trouble. Like they sent somebody with a cage out here to come get me.
Like they're going to like the jail came to you.
Yeah.
You fucked up so bad.
Like they're going to make an example that nobody under the age of 16 will even look at a car.
They're going
to
throw you in this cage and drive up and down the town.
Then drop you in the lake with a brick in the back of it.
Jesus Christ.
Just fucking just terrified. So I call my stepdad, who till this day I still call him for legal advice and everything. That hasn't gone away. And you know, he's telling me to calm down and stop overreacting. And I ask him, like, do cops drive around in trucks with cages on the back? He I couldn't see his face obviously because I was calling him, but I could just imagine, and he was probably like, "You fucking idiot!"
Oh my god, he probably laughed so hard.
Well, yeah, he's like, "No, that's animal control. You're fine."
he and your mother, like, they tell this story with such a glint in their eye and so much levity in their voices. Like, you can tell that they have just been feasting off of this story for
constantly
ages, for decades. They're just like, oh, like, this is so fucking funny. So, you know?
Luckily, my stepdad's sister at the time was an active police officer. She was actually a detective. She investigated computer crimes for the state of Kansas.
Computer crimes?
No, like, I think she worked with the FBI on a couple of cases and stuff, too. Like, she, great detective.
Computer crimes.
Computer crimes.
Computer crimes I'm pretty sure before it was computer the crimes. Internet?
No.
What were
17 years ago.
Oh, Jesus. God, you're young. 2003. Yeah, so yeah, the internet was well established.
Exactly.
That's so funny. God damn. So, I mean, when we talk about 13 for me, that was 1996. The internet was
before Etch a Sketch or after?
Barely a thing. Yeah, it was like light bright.
Yeah, so.
What did the internet come out in? 95? You wouldn't know.
Maybe, yeah.
But Netscape 2.0.
Luckily, my stepdad didn't have the idea to call her to come out and scare me until like after everything happened.
God, that's so funny.
Because I would just wear a shit, because I didn't really know her. All the time, I wouldn't have put two and two together and just be like, holy shit, there's a cop on my doorstep. Like, I'm so fucked.
Dude, that is precisely what he said, too. He's like, oh, you know, I had this, like, this cop in the family, and I would have had the presence of mind. I would have called her out and really scared the shit out of him. It's so funny that the both of you tell this story the same way.
That's awesome. So that was my first ever, like, single by yourself driving experience ever in my life was and it was so horrible, and now I've gotten countless tickets.
Right. That's so funny, because, like, so you had a very early first incident with accident. It wasn't with cops, but your first, like, accident situation.
And I look back at it now, like I said, the mirror got gouged, and other than that, there's the mailbox didn't get knocked over. There's no other damage to the car.
Yeah, that's
pretty
small.
There's nothing. It was simply me being like, "Oh shit, I heard a noise on a mailbox." Like, if I could go back to 13-year-old me, I'd just be like, "Just shut the fuck up and go inside." Like,
yeah,
it's fine.
Much.
Nothing's fucked, dude.
You gouged a mirror that's tiny.
Yeah, you're acting very undude.
You
just
didn't like
chill.
You didn't like run into somebody's living room with the car.
You didn't hit the mailbox. You grazed it. You nicked it.
Yeah, pretty much. That's kind of funny. So I originally thought, like, oh, you know, I don't have any stories like that. And I don't have any, like, nearly that good. About all I've got is I've got memories, because, again, like, I lived out in the middle of nowhere and we were a mile from the highway. So we had a really, really long driveway, and we also had a couple other roads that were out there. We had a development that was being put together. So it was literally brand new gravel roads, nice and wide. And so here I am, a dumbass 13-year-old, 14 probably at the time. I'm out there driving around in this Oldsmobile station wagon. And because it's a station wagon, anybody who's, even if it's front-wheel drive,
you always
it's
kick the ass
super
out.
Long. It's really easy to pitch around. And I remember... So I would do that. I would get the thing and I'd flick it, and I don't know, nobody showed me how to do it, but I just kind of figured it out, because I think I'd take corners really fast.
Flick.
Yeah, I'd take corners really fast, and you'd be like, oh, the rear end kind of like moves on you or whatever. And so I'd try and induce that, right? And I remember this one where it was like a Y in the road, and it's going uphill. And so there's a road here and a road here, and they come together, and then they kind of snake off like this. So they merge. And I'm coming this way, so I'm going to try and take this swooping corner here. And then there's a big hill right here. So you've got the Y, and on this side of the Y, you've got, okay, you guys, like, you're going to really get this from my example. It goes like that, right? And then right here is the big hill. Okay, so is that picture perfect? All right.
I'm confused.
Yeah, and anybody who's just listening and not looking at the video, I apologize.
Some poor sap on Spotify is like, I don't fucking get this.
Yeah, so basically with the way that I'm driving, if I'm pitching the corner correctly on my passenger side, there is a significantly elevated hill immediately off of the road, right? So I'm coming around this corner, and I do the thing, and I get it going sideways, and I'm way too fucking hot. And as I'm going sideways, the bead rolls on one of the back tires.
Oh, no.
And I slide into this hill, digging myself in. But the one situation where front-wheel drive was advantageous is because this hill is so much like touching the road, basically. It's not like you've got a big runoff section or something like that, like a highway does before, like the hills or the trees or whatever. The hill is basically one of the perimeters of the road. So when I hit the thing, the front end of the car was still kind of on the road. So I was able to drive. And
that's
I drove, oh my God, my poor parents. I drove all the way back to my house with a tire that was off of the bead. And knowing now what that does to a tire,
yeah,
I probably cost myself, cost my parents like $100 right there.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Killed that tire.
Because you're jacking off in the.
Yeah, just because I'm being a dumbass. And, you know, of course they're asking, like, how the fuck did you do this? Or like, what happened? And I was like, I don't know. I was just driving out
like,
on the...
There's a dog that ran out and I slammed on the brakes. And
I mean, I'm sure I told them that I was out in the development. But all you've got in this... That's what that section of it was. They called it the development because they were building all of these little places where you could build a cabin. Mm. So they were sort of sectioning it all off and they're developing the roads and all that kind of stuff. That little bit of infrastructure.
Which is just a teenager's playground. That's
which
all
is
that,
exactly
that's
what
all
it was.
It is.
Like there were so many cabins that were getting built that I would just break into and just go wander around because they were in construction. So
I know people give Fast and the Furious movies a ton of shit.
Yeah.
But Tokyo Drift, when the quote-unquote teenagers, I use that term loosely because they're all like 30-year-olds,
mm-hmm.
But they're playing teenagers, when they go out to the development and street race, like that's what teenagers would totally do. Maybe not to that extent, but they would go fuck around in construction areas.
Oh,
like
for
that.
Sure.
100%.
It wouldn't be this situation where it's like the popular kids. And
No. There's no Viper and shit like that. No.
Yeah, no. There's nothing like that. There was probably a bunch of Honda Civics.
Yes,
or
maybe some drugs.
One idiot with a Fox body.
Yep.
And they would watch the dude with the Fox body try and drift a corner.
Exactly. As they probably smoke pot or cigarettes or have a beer or two.
One of those Honda guys, they'd rip that e-brake.
Bounce it off a curb.
Exactly. They'd roll the bead. Yeah, that's exactly what the high school experience is like for me too. It was mostly like me with my Grand Am. That was my car that I got at 15. It was a Grand Am with a Tech 4, so it was a 2.5 liter four-cylinder. So it was actually a pretty torquey little four-cylinder. Me trying to burn off every bit of tire on those things.
So that Grand Prix was such a pile of shit. I never got to drive it again in Kansas. Mm. We towed it up here when my stepdad, my mom, and I and my sister moved up here. Had a couple little other things I ended up fixing up on it. I drove it, I think, for maybe a month. And then my girlfriend at the time, I lived just up in Proctor, and we were going to a school dance, and I'm like, okay, cool, I'll go pick her up. First time meeting her parents, by the way. I pull up in front of the house, and there's a crack in the block, and I spit all of the coolant out onto the road right in front of their house.
Wait. Okay, back of this.
And
up.
That thing is done.
Okay, so blocks don't just crack.
So
what did you do? Was there frozen water inside
probably.
Of the block?
Probably. My guess is that because it sat for so long.
Okay. So it came from Topeka, where you guys generally don't have freezing weather.
Brought it up here, where we do have freezing weather.
Okay.
It sat until early spring-ish. And pull it up. I'm here to pick up your daughter.
Pink. And all of a sudden, there's just pouring hot water out of it.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Jesus, dude.
So that went to the scrapyard.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's just like, how many cars do you destroy in high school before you know anything about them?
I went through
a lot.
Three cars
in
my 4 years of high school.
I went through... Well, I went through three, but I drove four. So I had a 89 or 88 Grand Am. That was the five-speed with the four-cylinder. Yep. Then after that, I had an Oldsmobile Regency 98, which is the fancy old, the Delta 88.
Yeah,
right?
it's an old person's car.
So it's Oh, dude, this thing was so badass. So it was, and I wish I could find one again, because honestly, I would love to drive one. So, okay, what was funny about this car is it would have, it was a Delta 88 that was just like pimped out in the interior. So the whole dash was all like digital. So, you know, 80s GM digital dash, but it all worked perfectly.
Which is rare.
Which is super cool. It had like, I want to say that the heater controls were all digital. So it read the temperature in the car and did all those things.
That's pretty sweet.
It had electric seats and it had an electric bench seat in the front, which was amazing. So, I mean, this car was... It was just perfect for a horny teenager.
Oh,
we'll
yeah.
just put it that way. Like,
oh, yeah. I put a big old... Maybe this makes more room.
Yeah, dude. And it was literally a bed in the front and the back. And so we, like, I put a big stupid stereo in it, which wasn't that big. But, you know, the car shook a little bit. So it was cool. I'd, like, drive around and I'd listen to, you know, Master P. And,
Run DMC.
No, it wasn't. See, okay. I mean, by the time I was driving, it was like the late 90s, right?
Okay, so more Hanson and Spice Girls then.
It was kind of that era. I think at the time I was listening, I'm not even joking, a lot of Nickelback. And this was just after, Curb, was that the album?
Okay. Time out. So I know Nickelback gets a ton of shit, which they totally deserve. Because they are...
Well... The last like three albums they deserve yeah. for.
Their like first album, two albums actually aren't that bad. They got popular and then they just tanked.
Okay, so I don't have their discography memorized by any stretch.
Oh,
but
no,
they
no
had
tattoos or anything?
One, no. They had, I got Chad Kroeger on my calf.
Speaking of which, if they ever do a documentary film on Nickelback, Dax McCarty needs to play Chad Kroeger.
Oh, he does. Dude. Totally. Yeah. I love Dax. Also a car guy. He's got a like 700 horsepower Roadmaster,
didn't
if
he
I remember
do,
correctly. Caprice wagon.
Oh, there was a hit and run. Didn't he do most of the driving stunts on that?
Yes. Like all of them.
Yeah. I've only seen it once. I liked it.
Yeah, he's
I should
good
watch
shit.
It again.
He's really good shit.
Anyways, Nickelback.
He also has like basically the most popular podcast ever. Or him or Rogan or something like that.
So
he's
Dax,
up there.
If you're watching this and you want to like help a brother out or something.
Yeah, have us on. We'd love to talk cars with you.
We'll bring you a beer.
Also, like, kudos to that gorgeous wife of his. I can't remember her name,
I
but
can't
she's lovely.
Her. Yeah, she's
Saving Sarah Marshall something.
Yeah, I think
Sarah
she was in
Marshall,
Couples Retreat
like
as
that.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a fox. Anyways, what the fuck were we talking about?
Nickelback.
So
for some reason.
Leader of Men, I think, is like the really popular song from their second album. Okay, look up their second album. It is a like black and yellow goldish colored cover. Album will surprise the hell out of you because you'll be like, well, wait a minute. Like, this is really good. Like, it's really good rock with like a little bit of a southern touch to it.
Yeah. Is that the album that has animals on it? Because I know that's off of one of their earlier albums.
Oh goodness. We're gonna play a little game here. But,
oh God.
You tell me that about your Nickelback.
So, Animals is I can't believe I have a favorite Nickelback song. I can't believe I'm admitting I have a favorite Nickelback song. But it's definitely Animals because the whole song is about getting laid in your car and having her dad. Catch you guys mid-act and trying to get away from them and shit.
Jesus, dude.
It's filthy. It's a stupid, filthy song. And it's got a good tempo to it. It's got a good hard rock sound to it. It's kind of catchy. Yeah, and it's just about
Jesus
being,
Christ,
just being a horny teenager, essentially.
Oh, here it is. It's called The State. Okay. So
the one with the road I actually owned back in the day.
God, I hate Bing so much. Okay. Go on.
Oh, I'm just saying, I was looking at the album covers, the one with the highway or the road or whatever, I think I actually owned way back in the day.
Yeah. All right, so, oh my God. Okay, here we go. Now I'm going to try and pull it up on the thingerdinger here.
Oh, yeah. I always forget we have the ability to do that. All right,
so ladies and gentlemen, here we go. So this is the album, it's called the state. Excellent, right? So Leader of Men, yep, I was actually right. So, okay, Leader of Men is like their hit. This is what put them on the map back in, you know, like the 90s. This is, oh God, what was it? No, 2000. Okay, so in the year 2000, this one came out. This album is actually super good. Surprised the hell out of me. Like, well, I shouldn't say surprised me, because it came out and it was just like, oh, cool, this is another band. So yeah. I'm listening to Korn, System of a Down, Union Underground, Coal Chamber. So like, okay. I'm listening to a lot of like metal bands and stuff like that. And
definitely
this
hard
one
rock
came
metal.
Out. It was on, I think it was called The Bear. Or it was like 102.5 or something. It might not even have like a silly moniker. I think that might have been before that. It was such a good radio station. It was like, it would play all of these heavy things. It didn't have a corporate overlord where it was like, you have to play all this crap. And yeah, it literally
that's what sucks about modern radio.
It had a locals section on it. And I can't remember if it was once or twice a week they would have for like a straight hour. They would play local acts. So literally Minnesota-based heavy metal bands, rock and metal bands.
So what you're saying is
it was fucking awesome.
We need to start a radio station.
Dude, I would do pirate radio in a fucking heartbeat.
Sign me up for it.
That would be amazing. So yeah, anyway, so like this album came out and it's actually surprisingly good. So it's so funny to me because Nickelback gets so much shit because what the hell happened to these guys?
Well, they...
Because they rolled out like, oh my God, what was the other album?
They had a handful of decent albums back in the day, and then they just got popular, and they're like, oh, well, wait a second. We can sell even more albums, though, if we just kiss a little corporate ass and just play more radio-friendly shit.
God, so if you look at it, and they've got so many other, just like, so many other albums. I'll just move us over to the side here. I stopped paying attention after Silver Side Up. So I liked Silver Side Up.
What's funny is I'm pretty sure you and I stopped at about the same time.
Yeah, so this album was surprisingly, like, this was okay.
No, I think that actually might be the one. I think that's the one that started, like, I think when Silver Side came up, that's about the time Creed kind of came into it.
Okay, so How You Remind Me.
Yeah.
That song was so good. It's a really good rock song, right?
It is.
Solid album. I think the one after this is when they just went to shit.
Yeah, they just
something changed. They got like super radio-y, and like the lyrics got even worse.
They got cheesier.
They were never awesome.
But they're still kind of the funny thing about Nickelback is if you still listen to the lyrics of some of their newer albums after this one, they're still kind of filthy. Like they're like, we're selling out, but we're gonna just slide in like a sex comment somewhere mid song just because we can.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. It's weird stuff.
Speaking of weird stuff, I see you're on Facebook right now.
Yeah. All right.
You were on Facebook.
I mean, so yeah. Don't worry about what's going on the screen.
I'm so used to trying to make sure that the audio is working that it's just a habit of like,
don't worry about it. Just let me worry about what's going on the screen because it's clearly like distracting you. All right. So you want to do Marketplace? You want to talk a little something about
unless
the something
that you found? More love for Nickelback you want to get out there.
Not necessarily, but I will tell you, dude, like that is one of those bands. So there's two bands that come to mind when we talk about bands that like started off really strong and just went a weird direction.
Can I take a guess with band number two?
Go for it.
Weezer.
Nope. No, but that's actually a really good example because I grew up in the era of Buddy Holly. Like that, and I'm not talking like literally Buddy Holly.
the sweater song,
Buddy Holly. Yep. That album is so freaking good.
Even Island in the Sun is a really good song.
Dude, so like I loved Radiohead and like Weezer was such a good, like they both were just such good college slacker rock kind of bands. Oh, fucking loved them. Definitely Weezer had some like really sellout-y kind of albums for a little bit there.
I could see that.
They still kind of do. They
to bounce back.
The other one I'm going to tell you about is Buckcherry. So if you've ever listened to Buckcherry's first album.
What's their one really, really big hit?
Oh, God.
Oh, fuck. I get Buckcherry mixed up with Hinder.
Well, I mean, they had some trash songs that wasn't terribly different. Okay, so Buckcherry, they had their first album. Try and pull up the discography here for you guys. Okay, so 1999.
I didn't realize they went back that far, to be completely honest.
Okay, so flippity flip.
Hey.
Here we go. So 1999, Buckcherry's, this album comes out. It is, okay, just studio album. So this is like a self-titled kind of thing. This album is so fucking good. This is the one with, I think, Cocaine on it, the song about cocaine, up or whatever.
Okay. I think I know what you're talking about.
Give this album a chance. Like, it will surprise the hell out of you. It is so good. This is such a good album. And then they had, what is that really, God, I cannot think of the name of it. Lit Up is the I think the one about cocaine that everybody's so familiar with. From
I would have to hear. I have a feeling this is one of those albums that you played a couple of songs. I would totally recognize it.
Yeah, God, what is that for that?
So you gotta remember, this came out in what, 99, you said?
Yeah, this is 1999.
I didn't get into music until 2002.
They were at Woodstock 99, and I'm not even kidding you, I remember watching that. So I was at a buddy's house, and we bought the pay-per-view. So we pay-per-viewed, and it was like 60-some bucks, and this was back in the 90s, so that's equivalent of like 150, 200 bucks a day.
And good amount of money.
We spent the entire weekend getting stoned and watching. So we spent the whole weekend on the couch
watching music.
It was a live feed the whole weekend because it was Friday or Thursday night.
Well, you definitely got your money's worth out of it.
It was awesome. So it was like DirecTV, and they had the whole thing or whatever. And yeah, we watched the entire thing all the way down to when people were literally burning shit. They were burning all the, I don't remember exactly what it was. And I'm trying to think of, like, was it Nine Inch Nails or was it Korn? I can't remember. During one of the main acts, maybe Limp Bizkit, they literally started tearing down shit and massive fires. They're burning tons of shit. It was insane. But so I spent the entire weekend just like party hardy,
also
getting high and drinking
and
yes, very much. And just like vegging out to this. It was such an amazing experience for like literally sitting on the couch for an entire weekend.
Yeah, at 9 I couldn't do any of that stuff.
God, that just ages me. Yeah. So anyway, Buckcherry is another one of those bands that I can't remember the name of the album, but they had another one like here recently that was just absolutely terrible.
And it's so hit and miss. Like there are some bands that change for the better. There are some bands that get a lot of shit when they shouldn't. Like Linkin Park, as some of you might know, that is like probably my favorite band easily. They get a lot of shit. A lot of people say they sold out after their second album. But if you listen to the songs, they actually have a lot of really good albums after that, after their second album. And people are like, oh, they sold out. It's like, no, they just decided they didn't want to play the same genre every fucking time.
Right.
But then you get bands like, I'm going to say Avenged Sevenfold. Their early stuff is super heavy. They have a couple of good songs here and there through some of their newer stuff, but it's like, I don't know what you guys did, but
yeah,
it's just not good.
I used to listen to Avenged Sevenfold quite a bit. And I actually, like, I think I stopped listening to them, like, at the right time. I don't know. They had that one that was talking about, like, having sex with corpses, which I fucking loved. It was such a good song.
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
But the albums afterwards, I just, like, didn't pay attention to. So I must have missed it.
So Slipknot released a new album, what, 2 years ago?
Something like that,
2 years ago.
I'm not positive.
And a bunch
timeline.
Of people gave him shit like, oh, it's just not as heavy as Iowa and all that. And it's like, well, yeah.
Well, God.
Let's see here. They don't live in Iowa anymore. They have money.
they're not as pissed off.
Yeah, they're not as angry. Like, what are they going to be pissed off about? Like, fuck, I got to take the Mercedes today to the studio.
Dude,
God, I'm just angry about this.
Corey Taylor's doing like country albums now. Like,
life's pretty
good.
Corey Taylor's at the point in his life where he's like, I'm just going to do whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah, he is.
Speaking of which,
of Corey Taylor,
it's all music related. Mm-hmm. Howard Jones, which is my current favorite living vocalist. He was on a podcast and they only have like a minute and a half segment of it. He does a phenomenal version of Simple Man.
Oh, no shit. Okay. And I can like, see that. He's got a hell of a voice.
He's got that soulful voice to him. Mm-hmm. And it's like bone-shakingly good. It's
really
stupid good how well he sings that song. I
have to look that up.
So Corey Taylor also does a really good cover of Wicked, Wicked Game. Mm.
Oh, Wicked Games? Yeah. Dude.
That's a fantastic cover he does.
Chris Isaac didn't... I don't think he realized that he wrote, like, one of the most covered songs ever, besides, like, Love Song or...
But, I mean, him does a fantastic cover of it, too.
Their cover is so fucking good. And I could go on such a tangent about him. That's a band that takes me back. I have seen them so many times live. But we needed to get into the marketplace ads.
Otherwise, we're going to have an entire podcast
about
car.
Tell me a little something about Tyrese's car here.
Yeah, so that's actually exactly why I picked this. This popped up on my marketplace, and I instantly thought of Fast and the Furious.
Oh, sure.
Like 100%. I mean, now, this thing,
apparently
it's quote-unquote built. Bigger turbo, all that fun stuff. But it's got the early 2000s body kit. And then if you flip through it, if I remember correctly, the gauge pillar or gauges on the A pillar are in a gauge pod that are blue, which make no sense because the car is silver.
Okay.
With no blue interior. But I just, it's one of those things like I think somebody tried and then.
What's going on with the math here?
Yeah. It's zip tied into place.
Okay. That's always a good sign.
So it just screamed. Oh.
So, okay, it's a 420A, so it's a Dodge Neon motor.
Yeah. It just screamed early 2000s.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Yeah, I was just
look
like...
Look at that.
Somebody got stoned, watched Fast and Furious, and said, I'm going to build a fucking car.
I don't even think they got stoned. I just think they nerded out like a preteen would. Dude, look at that. They spray painted their gauge pillar and everything. I don't know. I like it. I dig it. Dude,
I dig what it was aiming to be.
I mean, look at the paint job on the hood. I just wish it was finished. This is really, really good. Okay,
so I just wish it was a finished product.
I got to break something down here. Okay, so we're far enough out of the body kit world. Well, the Fast and the Furious body kit world, because let's be real. All the guys that used to talk shit about like Hondas being a bunch of fucking ricers are now a bunch of Nissan guys who are slapping fucking body kits on every single 240.
Well, and what's funny too is it's kind of
rice.
People are like, oh, it's so rice. Look at that big body kit. And they're like, yeah, but look at that Rocket Bunny wide body.
Exactly.
Like, what the fuck then?
I drive my giant diesel pickup that I've got 14 fucking light bars on, but you're such a ricer for having underglows.
Yeah,
but don't talk shit about my rock lights, which are literally underglows.
I have 16-inch wheels that stick out 5 inches past my fenders on my lifted truck.
Yeah,
like,
no,
okay, buddy.
I've got fucking 22x12 wheels with a negative 85 offset.
Just drive off in your bro-dozer, right?
Yeah, exactly. So so if you look at this thing, like, look at the hood. Like, that's somebody masked this really nice.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's a carbon fiber hood that was painted. So, like I said, at one point when this wasn't sun-faded, this probably looked really awesome.
This was either A, somebody who had the attention or had the ambition to make a really awesome car and just fell a little short, or at one point in time, it was an awesome car, and now it's just been passed around 1,000 times, and it's slowly deteriorating.
Yeah, okay, so we got bigger turbo, but it's a... Well, was it a 420A? Maybe it's not. Let's get to the engine. Oh, we might be... Yeah, I think we might be looking at a 4G, actually. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's a 4G.
Yep. Okay. That is a 4G. I thought it was a 420A at first. Yeah. I was like, oh.
No shit. This will decimate all after you dump like 10 grand into it.
Yeah, that's cool. So you must have put like an Evo 3 16G or a big 16 or something like that on it.
That would be my guess.
Because it looks fairly stock. You still got the
The stock manifold
the heat
and
shield
to
and
it.
Stuff like
yeah.
that. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I don't hate it.
I didn't know. I came across it, and at first I hated it. I looked at it a little bit more. I kind of liked it, and I just don't know. It's one of those for $3,000. If I could score it for $2,500, I'd totally buy it and then dump more than I should into it to finish it.
Oh, wait a minute. Is this an auto?
I don't remember.
No, it's a manual. Okay, so we're looking at a $3,000, 118,000 mile, which I find a little hard to believe. I bet you
that's wrong.
Yeah, that's probably the chassis. Yeah,
maybe.
Probably a 8 or a, what is this, 7 bolt? Is probably a 7 bolt that popped at some point. GST is the front wheel drive turbo version, so that could be part of the pricing. For how clean it is, honestly, I feel like that's kind of a good price.
I don't think it's too bad.
Really not bad. I would drive it. I'd feel a little ricey. I'd feel a little self-conscious, but I'd drive it.
I would have my Ludacris and DMX cranked all the way up everywhere I went.
Oh, yeah, dude. And rest in peace, DMX.
Yeah, pour one out for your homies.
Rough riders.
I mean, and it's a soft top, so you got to roll it down and bark at people as you go by.
Well, you do that anyways because you're driving in Eclipse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. So that's pretty cool. I think that's a good find.
I just came about it. I didn't know how to feel about it. I still don't know how to feel about it. If I had the money, I'd probably try to save it.
You think so?
And finish it.
Yeah.
I think it could be restored to what it was.
Well, okay. So it's a front wheel drive, though. Yeah, do you want to do all that work on a front wheel drive?
We have a Civic.
That we're going to sell.
Doesn't mean I can't sell that.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So you can do all-wheel drive swaps on these.
Yeah, because isn't the tunnel still there and everything?
I want to say the tunnel's all the same. You just swap out like the trailing arms, I'm guessing. Because obviously you need a way to, like, you know, the hubs aren't just going to like fit into the normal trailing arms. Yeah. I have to assume that they need the splines and everything.
What's a parts car all-wheel drive Eclipse?
You mean the millions of them that are in scrap yards because they all blow up?
$500 maybe.
This is totally feasible to do the swap, and I know like 3 different people that have done it and could for sure guide you.
So you're in it for just under $4,000 with including the purchase of this to have a pretty decently fun car.
I promise you it is twice that.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, to build it and have it not be a hoopty.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you can make it relatively stock, but dude, like DSMs, they want your pocketbook.
Really?
For sure. Yeah, okay, so let me back this up.
I've never owned a DSM.
DSMs make, there is no four-cylinder, they're literally like some of the fastest four-cylinders on the planet. They are like the original, like, crank up the boost controller and they just tolerate it. And that's why so many of them blow up, because people just like beat the shit out of them. There's so many like 19 and a half year olds that put a fucking Holman boost controller on it and just crank it to 30.
I know some twins that were like that.
Yeah. And you know, like then they all explode and then everybody goes like, well, these things are pieces of shit. When it's like, okay, if you did that to a Honda Civic, even though the Honda Civic's the most reliable car on the fucking planet, they would blow up too. Same with a fucking Camry motor, whatever. They're going to pop because you can't abuse them that way without correcting things in the, you know, fuel maps and timing and all that kind of shit. The multitude of things you got to do to try and make something reliable. But these cars just kind of have a way with things. They like to blow dipstick tubes, the dipstick out of the dipstick tube. They just have like crank walk issues, which has more to do with people launching it like a dumbass. But it's just like there are a lot of little things that you want to look over on them, just like a turbo Subaru. So like a turbo Subaru, you kind of need to upgrade things, and they tend to be expensive for the quality stuff.
I could see that. Okay. So that makes sense then.
Best practice is buying quality shit and putting it on there.
Or buying a Honda.
So I think to manual swap this thing, because you probably aren't going to use ripped axle boot shit, and you're not going to use like a bad U-joint drive shaft, and the rear end is, you know, full of rust or whatever. Like the likelihood of you finding a perfect swappable series of parts without bad bushings and shocks and all that kind of stuff, more than likely you're gonna have to clean up a lot of that stuff as well. So I just think that what you're doing is, yeah, you're buying a $3,000 car, but if you're all-wheel drive swapping it, you're probably gonna want to upgrade a ton of shit around it and do it the right way.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so I think that it's probably a $5,000 $5,500 when all is said and done to make it all wheel drive.
I still don't know if that's that bad.
No, that's not bad at all. Yeah. So when these things are really, really well sorted out, yeah, you're looking at close to 10 G's, sometimes over that, for like the really beautifully well done ones. Yeah. So I think it's cool.
So
I think it's super cool.
What did you find then?
Okay, so all I have this week is an update on last week's Marketplace ad. So
oh, yeah, the duck boat.
The duck boat. You remember how we went on a tangent? Mm. We went on like a 10-minute tangent about how who the fuck is going to buy this thing?
Yeah.
Like, it sold in a week. It sold in like 4 days. Four freaking days okay, after we looked at it. Apparently we don't
know shit about duck boats.
Because
I think I said I would pay like 15 if I could.
Yeah, like I don't even know what I would have paid for it. $500? I don't know. It sold. It was listed for 35 grand. It sold in a couple. A week ago.
He probably took 32 for it or something dumb.
The crazy thing is, like, okay, so this thing was listed a week ago as of today. It sold a couple of days ago. That thing sold that fast.
Sold in 5 days.
I thought there's no way this thing's going to sit on Marketplace forever.
Who in the Northland has the money for a duck boat and is into duck boats?
So this is Sparland, Illinois.
All right.
You got a pretty fairly big area around you.
You could be anywhere from Milwaukee to Chicago.
Totally.
I mean, I don't know how hard they are to come by, so maybe even somebody down in like Kansas City, Des Moines, whatever, it's like, I want one.
Anywhere where there's lakes, or I don't even know, like maybe it's a collector or something like that. I don't know how it came to be, but somebody
purchased this thing.
And now I feel like such an idiot. I could not believe it when I pulled it up. I was like, because I'd like to do that. Like, if I find something completely ridiculous, I like to try and like look it up and go, okay, what's the update on this?
I wish it would tell you. Excuse me.
You need to get some fucking sleep, kid.
Oh, God. I went to bed at like 11 last night. I wish people would tell you what they sold it for. Like, it says sold, and then it's like 34 grand. It's like, oh, cool. So he almost got asking for it.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to guess, I think it's probably in the 20s. I think somebody offered 30, maybe 29, something like that.
Yeah, I'd say that's a very safe guess.
You could be right, though, because if it's sold in 4 days, maybe it was like 32 or something like that.
Maybe. Or maybe he posted at 35. Somebody said, hey, I got 27 cash.
That's true.
And the guy's like, you know what? I'm 70. I'm going to die next week. I'll take it.
I got to like hand this down to my kids. Jesus Christ, 70, I'm going to die next week. Yeah, man. So there it is.
I'm a little pissed off about this, to be completely honest.
Are you?
I would love to own one someday just because they're so stupid. And I have a thing for stupid things. I mean, look at my car history. I love dumb shit. I would totally own one in a heartbeat. And the fact that one popped up for sale and I didn't have $35,000 laying around makes me a little upset.
Well, you know, it also could be, now you're making me on. Could be the, what is that place in Wisconsin? Where the rest of the duck boats are.
The Dells.
The Dells. Wisconsin Dells. It's entirely possible that the resort down there could have needed to replace something.
And just scooped it up and said, hey, we'll give you 30 grand cash. We'll come get it tomorrow. Yeah,
exactly. So it's entirely possible that something like that. And
you get free rides for the rest of your life. So 7 rides.
Yeah. Oh, man. So do these have wheels in the front? Like, I can't really...
They have a full chassis.
They're amphibious, so they literally drive. My God, can you imagine?
I'm telling you, man, we need to build one or buy one someday.
Oh, we have
10,000 lakes. We could make it a bucket list to drive into every lake in Minnesota.
So, okay, if you use... How would you do this? So you need to pass a drive shaft through the hull of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
At the bare minimum, you need that. You could probably do the steering outside of the hull. So outside of the boat. It would look horrendous, but you could probably do it either above the waterline or just simply outside of the boat. So how would we make an amphibious? I mean, how would we do this? Because you got to keep the motor out of the water.
No, you got to keep the motor up. But then
you got to keep the intake up.
Yeah, that's true.
And the ignition needs to somehow tolerate the wet.
Yeah.
I don't know how that'd work. I don't know. Maybe you guys know. I don't fucking know.
I would love to attempt it, but we don't have the time or the income to just be like, we're going to give it a month and see what we can build.
Or the ambition. I don't know.
Maybe the ambition.
Yeah, if I could do this shit for a living.
Yeah, exactly.
And my living was just people wanting to watch me do dumb shit. Sure.
Sign me up for that. We're going to build that. We're going to build all sorts of fun stuff.
If I'm not doing it for customers, like, that's a completely different can of worms.
Yeah.
Just simply doing it because people want to watch. I don't know.
That's why I think Top Gear's, like, if I had a dream job, it'd be to host Top Gear. Because they get to do all that fun stuff. Somebody else is paying for it, and they're like, you're gonna go to Columbia and drive across the country into the mountains, and we're going to pay for it. I'm like, cool.
Dude, those guys parlayed themselves into basically the greatest jobs in the world.
Yeah.
Jeremy Clarkson doesn't have to do shit.
Yeah, he's a fucking idiot, and he doesn't have to do shit.
He doesn't have to do anything. The only thing that man has to do is
not punch somebody.
Well, he did that, and then it paid off because he got even more money doing the Grand Tour.
That's what I know.
Does he even have any other shows? I don't even think he does.
No, I think he writes for a magazine.
Okay.
I think he does.
That can't be that much
income. No. Is fast. Okay.
I'm going to guess that Clarkson is probably the brains behind Top Gear. I
would think so. Yeah, let's say that's safe.
Because Hammond and May both have a bunch of other projects. Hammond is on fucking everything.
Yeah, and he's in the hospital every 6 months, almost dying from a car crash.
He's got to pay his medical bills. He's in the UK where there's no medical bills.
He crashed another car not too long ago.
Another one?
He had some electric supercar.
Oh, well, that was years ago.
Was that years ago? Okay, I just saw that it showed up on, was it Drive Tribe?
Yeah, it's pretty,
like a month ago that he went down the hill with it.
Oh, yeah. Did you guys watch the video?
I watched it. Yeah, it goes up in flames on that. They pull him out of a burning car, essentially.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty.
Yeah, he said that. He raced one other one wrecked one at the test track back in the day, too.
Yeah, he did. Was it an F1 car or something like that?
Yeah.
It was like the baby F1 cars. I don't remember exactly what it was, but. So he's gotten in a million accidents.
Either way, I mean, they travel the world to different countries, driving different cars, trying different food, meeting different people, and just getting paid.
Yeah.
Insane amount of money.
Oh, yeah. They are worth so many millions of dollars, just like truly living the dream.
Like, what did you do? Well, we drove secondhand motorcycles through Vietnam and made $10 million doing it, or whatever they got paid. Yeah.
At least $10 million. Because you have to figure, like, the residuals from something like that, from a show that is going to continue to be watched for decades.
Oh, yeah. Top Gear is the sole purpose. I have a subscription to Motor Trend.
Oh, yeah. Well, like,
there's other stuff.
For me, it's Roadkill, but yeah.
For me, it's Top Gear. Like, I love going back and just watching old episodes and be like, oh, how cool is that? They tied a rocket onto a Mini Cooper.
Oh, man. What was the one where they stack cars on top of them and the top car was the steering for the bottom car?
Oh, God. Yeah, that's right.
That was so fucking funny.
Well, and then they do like reasonable stuff, too, where they're like, can we rally race for cheap?
Yeah. Was that when they were in Sweden?
No. Their scene of rally racing was cheaper than golf. And they had, what do you have? I think somebody had an MR2, if I remember correctly. I can't remember what the other two cars were. And they did like a full day's worth of rally racing. And it was awesome.
Yeah, that sounds pretty fucking rad.
And here you and I are.
Was it a 3 Series BMW?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay, so I think I know which one you're talking about. I don't remember what the third car was.
I can't
remember
what May had.
Might have been a 323, a little Mazda 323 or something like that.
Yeah, some shitbox.
I don't fucking know. You guys can tell us, the four people that are probably watching this.
But either way, it's like, here, we're going to pay for all the dumb shit you're doing. Have fun. And just be funny.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. I could do that. Why does somebody pay me millions of dollars to do it?
It is the dream. I don't know. It's pretty good. So, hey, we got any updates about the projects?
Yeah. I'm still working on it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
So, we will finally have the episode 3 of the E30 series out really quick here. So, for those that aren't familiar with what we do, we're primarily dad mods. So Bruise of the Dudes is a podcast project of dad mods. And for the dad mods videos, we like to try and update you guys during the podcast. So The latest video that's going to be coming out is the E30 episode 3. And in that one, we talk about, or we show you guys how we fit Porsche 911 seats into it and then did sort of the front end, upgrade, we'll call it.
Yeah. A controlled accident.
Yes.
Yeah.
So basically, like, we clean everything up, we paint the front end, and we push in the bumpers, and it's pretty hilarious.
It's very hilarious. I can't wait. I was there, obviously, but I have not seen the final finished product of it, so I am beyond excited to see it because I was laughing my ass off in the moment, and I know I'm just going to watch it again and just pee myself with excitement.
It's a good time. So that's the next video that's going to be coming out. Mm-hmm. Following that, we'll be doing a Ford video, assuming that we get the electrical done in time. Otherwise, it's sort of like we're banked a little bit on E30 videos, so I might shift, you know, just stay focused on that one as well. It's usually our videos are like we've got more than enough content filmed that we have a steady stream of videos to produce. But with the Ford, with the shoebox Ford, we're actually completely caught up on that. So the next video doesn't come out until we're literally done
with
the wiring portion of it, yep. Which is the chassis wiring. So currently what we're doing on that is we're filming a video on how you wire up and update the vintage gauges. So they're old 6-volt positive ground, which is an oxymoron.
Yeah, that's mind-boggling all its own.
It's weird. So we're wiring all of that. We're updating all of the electrical. We are doing new lights in it. We cleaned the thing up. We show you how you open up the housing and clean all of it out and stuff like that. So that's going to be a really great video, I think.
I completely agree with you.
And also the actual electrical video is going to be pretty...
Yeah, just running and mounting the Speedway harness and all that kind of stuff will be fantastic.
Yeah, that's going to be really helpful for people who are wondering about, like, what do I do? How do I update the wiring in this thing? Or how do I update the electrical? If you want to do an entire new harness, we're going to, you know, show you guys how we did it. So it's pretty cool.
And funny enough, the BMW is getting electrical wire.
Yeah, it's hilarious that we're on the same stuff.
But yeah, engine bay wiring is practically done. Need a little bit of lumen, need to wire in the MAF, and then bundle everything up the final way, a couple of brackets. And
that's gonna be awesome.
Then we'll be filming a little tip video, which we have yet to come up with a name for.
Well, we got a really funny name, but I don't know if we're going to be able to use it.
Yeah. Just use your imagination with that one.
We tell them.
Yeah. Just the tip.
Just the tip, which would be a fucking hilarious name.
I still think we should go for it.
I don't know. Okay. So we've got our first contributor to the show now.
We should ask them what they think about it. We could email them.
I don't know.
Would you still want to be a part of this?
No, not yet. So we've had a couple of contributors. We've had the Loki Foundation for the Arts, and we've had Super Clean Auto, which Super Clean is fucking like awesome. What a amazing contributor to the show because it's literally one of the biggest automotive cleaning brands like in the country
easily.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Like, here's a box of stuff.
Yeah, stuff. Let the people know. Try it out. If you like it, tell people about it, and we'll scratch your back and all that stuff.
Yeah, we'll just keep sending you more shit.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, we love it. And the kicker is, it's not just like, you know, because we've had like four other people approach us. We've had like,
I could
basically
think of a
like
local
Amazon
company.
Brand stuff. We've had like people who produce LEDs and stuff like that. And a lot of it was just like, I don't know, just like kind of questionable about it. It's like, I don't know this brand.
Very shake weighty.
Yeah. Shake weight's like an actual product. This is kind
That's
of like,
true.
It's like Amazon. It's like wish.com kind of stuff. It's so, we've had others approach us with it, and we just, I don't know, like, I don't know. So anyway, Super Clean is an actual big legitimate brand that does that has actually good shit.
Yeah, I've used
so we're okay talking about it.
It's incredible.
Yeah,
it's
really good stuff. So we're gonna be using their products, and we'll talk a little bit more about it. And actually, most recently, we got a lot of love from Speedway Motors, which...
Yeah, I'm still just blown away by that.
Yeah, so they shared one of our posts and kind of give us a little bit of kudos on it, which is so wild. Like
that, okay, I don't think... You probably know. Your Ford is going to get a ton of love, especially once it's on the road.
I hope so.
It will.
I'm building it. Pretty cool. I mean, I'm doing good shit to it, so hopefully it's going to see some love.
It'll get a ton of love.
I hope so. Yeah, man. So, I don't know. Like anything, I'm anxious for the channel to blow up. It hasn't yet. It's a slow growth. I'm getting jealous of some of the other channels I'm watching that I've been following since they were like fairly small, and now like Puddin's Fab Shop, which you always chuckle about the name.
Puddin's
just skyrocketed up to 40,000 subscribers. Like, well, channel just fucking blew up.
It's funny you say that.
It's like I'm happy for the dude. It's awesome. I also kind of want our channel to see that kind of success because I think we do a good job.
So I was in O'Reilly's talking to Alan. Who, if you don't know who Alan is, watch our very first episode on Dad Mods. And awesome dude.
He's the flag girl.
Yep. He's totally. He's the manager of the local O'Reilly shop. And we're just BSing and all that, talking about new employees and all that kind of crap. And I told him, I'm like, I would totally work for you if I could afford it. He's like, well, what would it take for you to afford it? I'm like, I need Dad Mods to be bringing in income. Essentially, I need to be able to cover a majority of my wages so I could work part-time at some other job.
Totally.
And we went on this whole rant for about 15 minutes about how he's going to stay up late and make 30,000 different YouTube accounts and just subscribe to our channel.
That is so funny.
And what's funny is I kind of believed him on it because it's Alan.
You
and
wouldn't
I could
put
just,
it past
I
him.
Could totally see him doing it.
That's the thing. I don't know. It's really awesome. It's like we might not have a big count right now, but what we do have is a lot of people that really love what we do, and they're super supportive. Like we got such an awesome group of people that pay attention to our channel, and I don't know.
It's just a matter of time.
It's super cool, and yeah, like we've got people like Alan who just is like from the beginning has been such a good supportive person.
Alan is like a 10-year-old girl at Disneyland running into Cinderella.
Yeah, no shit.
Every time we walk into O'Reilly's. Just
he
like
is
that.
Just such a sweetheart.
Yeah, he's a big cuddly bear. I know he's gonna watch this too. So,
well,
shout
he's been on what one or two of our podcasts.
Two, I think.
And once we finally get everything ironed out, and we got a couple other things to work out here, but we're almost ready for guests. So I think we can, I think we can look
have
at
him in person
at doing that pretty quick here. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man. So. I don't know. Let's wrap this thing up.
I gotta go to bed.
I'll extract my tongue from all of your asses and say just thank you so much for all of the love that we get. We've got low viewer count on the podcast, but we've got very consistent listeners and watchers, and I don't know. It's awesome. We really appreciate it. And as far as like the Dad Mods channel goes, it's fucking awesome that we're just seeing like video after video cranking out 3,000, 5,000, whatever views on some of these things.
Oh, yeah.
That's humbling.
Love it.
Yeah. So
keep on keeping on.
Hey, thanks you guys very much. We really do appreciate it. And we're going to see you next week where we talk about...
Cats.
We're going to talk a lot about cats. So you guys have a great week. Yeah. We'll see you on the flippity flip flop flop flippity.
Adios.
Bye-bye.